It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's Monday, my brothers and sisters, and it is the 14th of the month. We want to just wish you guys richest blessings. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 118, 24, and Psalm 122, verse 1. My wife, Undreamed Of, will pray for us at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together to be able to have worship and to open up your word. And now, Lord, we ask for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words to our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Help us always grow in grace and in wisdom. For these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time. It's about time for the coming.
brothers and sisters. We are studying our great high priest, Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 5. That's our title for today. We're reading Hebrews chapter 5. As we begin, let us pray together. Dear Father, thank you so much for loving us. You are so amazing, and we thank you for the truth. We thank you for using us. We ask that you will keep us always in your watch care. Help us to be careful, to desire to be kept there, and to pray much so that we are not ensnared by the devil. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends. Hebrews 5 begins by saying, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity." So what is he saying here? Every high priest has to be a human. That's what he's saying. Okay? He has to be in human form. He has to be able to understand the plight of people. That's why Jesus had to be human. He was God only at first. Then God became man. So he's 100% God. You can never stop being God, but he is now 100% man. He's not 50% man. He's 100% man. So he is touched, we learned, with the feeling of our infirmity, yet was in all points tempted like as we are. We are learning in Hebrews. That was Hebrews 4:15. In Hebrews 2, we learned it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, okay, having flesh and blood, that he might properly represent us. And so I want you all to understand that this is real important, that Jesus has gone through what we're going through. Why? Because some of you are women, but you want to declare yourself men. And some of you are men, but you want to declare yourself as women. And you've put political pressure on the system so much so that prestigious and elite organizations, I read to you or I referred to you Cleveland Clinic, that's not an unprestigious organization. And I'm sure it's in others. I just happened to read it there. It was describing human physiology. And it would say, as it would talk about females, it would say both women and AFABs. What's an AFAB? Assigned female at birth, okay? Or if it would describe a male and his body part, it would be an AMAB. He said, all you, Cleveland Clinic said, all you men and those who are AMABs. Well, what's an AMAB? Well, I was assigned male at birth. So I want to ask you, as we're reading about Jesus who can have compassion on the ignorant, I want to ask you, who assigned you male at birth? Who assigned you female at birth? I'm going to read it to you, brothers and sisters, because you think man did. And therefore, you have the right to question man. I don't feel like a woman. I don't feel like a man. I'm going to take you to the book of Psalms, brothers and sisters. Psalms 139. Let's see if we were assigned female at birth. Who did it? Psalm 139. And that's see, you really know deep down inside who did it. That's why they've turned away from God. And that's why even that movement is trying to take over God's church. And the church is letting them do it. It says, I will praise thee in Psalm 139:14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? Do you understand how much technology man has to go through just to twist the hands and the fingers? They have robots, but it takes geniuses to program those robots just to be able to make the different hands, and the robot can't do it like my hand can do it. Just my hand would tell you there's a God in heaven, brothers and sisters. Oh, my friends, let me tell you something. when my father and my mother came together, God had over 500,000 choices as to who would come out of my mother 9 months later. There are over, approximately anyway, 500,000 sperm that are inserted into the female vying, competing for conception. There's one egg from the female, but there's 500,000. And if any one of them, it would have been a different person. God wanted me to be on this earth. And guess what? We can only assume, this is just an assumption, a mathematical assumption, that half of them have a Y and half of them have an X. If the sex of the individual, the gender of the individual, is determined by the father's sperm. So if 250 million of them were X's and 250 million of them are Y's, that means, my brothers and sisters, that God, and you're a woman, that God had 250 million opportunities to make you a man. So if he assigned you female at birth, you're not an AFAB. You're a woman. I don't care if you cut your hair. I don't care if you take a million hormones. I don't care if you used to be Joan and you want to be John. You are a woman. For the Bible says, I will praise thee for you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, my sister, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let them cut on you. Don't let them shoot you with drugs so you can be somebody else. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, oh, gentleman, gentlemen and gentlewomen. That's one thing I can say about Congress that I like. I don't have a whole lot more that I like, but when they go into their meetings, they call the men the gentleman from Arizona or the gentlewoman from Kentucky. See, God is a gentleman. God is not rough and rude and shrewd and crude. He's kind and loving and approachable, but he is still sovereign, my brothers and sisters. He said, the Bible says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Notice it says, and that my soul, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Then it goes on, it says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Well, how were you made in secret? You were conceived by your parents in secret, and even more secretly was the work going on in the woman at that time. And God had a choice. I'm going to choose that sperm and make it Rachel. Can we say amen? I'm going to choose that sperm and make it Vicky. I'm going to choose that sperm and make it Johnny. I'm going to choose that sperm and make it Michael. Okay? And if you were assigned a woman by God, then God says, I don't want, as I fearfully and wonderfully make this gentle woman, I don't want to use any of my 250 million options to make her a man. It's the devil, friends, that makes people think that you're assigned female at birth by a man, or you're assigned male at birth by a man, or a human, in other words. You are assigned at birth by God himself. It says in verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought. That means carefully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all of my members were written. Every body part of your body is written in God's book. So you are assigned at birth, friends. No. You were assigned prior to birth, okay? Which in continuance were fashioned. That's the development of the embryo. When as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. Friends, we are slapping God in the face who made us fearfully and wonderfully. And I'm here to tell you, just because bad stuff happens, bad stuff will happen to good people, brothers and sisters. God has not promised that good people will not be accosted. He didn't promise that good people won't be molested. He didn't promise that good people will never be assaulted. He said he will bless us through it, and only if it can glorify his name would he allow it. See? And so, my friends, that I'm here to tell you, we're going back to Hebrews, but this high priest that we have, He's a high priest that understands. He has compassion, the Bible says, on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. He understands the human plight. He understands what we're going through. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. Now, this is talking about the human, like Aaron, the priest. God has given an example to show Christ is similar, but he's not offering sins for, he never sinned, so he didn't have to offer for himself. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So that's our proof. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, that he may, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Oh, my brothers and sisters, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. I was telling you all about the error that the churches, Sabbath keeping and Sunday keeping, came into to keep from being in a cult book. And that was they accepted certain basic doctrines of Roman Catholicism. One was the Trinity. The Trinity is the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. They're one being, but they can manifest themselves as a Father, manifest themselves as a Son, manifest itself as a Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the Trinity. It's one being. That's error, friends. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. That would do away with the cross, the atonement. Jesus had to go to his Father to say, Lord, is my sacrifice acceptable? God had to come down at the baptism of Jesus and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, while the Holy Spirit was ascending as a dove. That would do away with all that, friends. And that's what the Roman Catholic Church has done away with all that. Okay? And so those who accepted the Trinity have created an opposing movement, because some oppose that, rightfully so. But in so doing, they go to the opposite extreme and teach the same error. So you have many people that will say there is no actual Holy Spirit, that it's just the Spirit of the Father. Well, that's the same thing that they did when I'm just the Son version of the Godhead. I'm just the Father version. I got to figure out which I'm pulling up my finger. I'm going to get the wrong finger if I don't mess up here. Or maybe I should use those. Do it this way. I'm the Son version of the Godhead, or I'm the Father version of the Godhead, or I'm the Spirit version of the Godhead. You follow what I'm saying? So basically, they've done the same thing. Though he's not a real being. I'm just a Son of the Father. I'm sorry, I'm the Spirit of the Father. I'm the Spirit of the Son, you see? And not an actual being, you see. And so they've done the same thing, same error, but it came about because the church accepted the Trinity. So some people go to the opposite extreme. And in so doing, they hurt God's cause, okay? But here we have Christ glorified. It says, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And why did I bring that up? Because those who oppose the Trinity, but they go into the opposite and equal extreme error, they say that Jesus had a beginning, that this begotten mean that he had a beginning, even though we read from everlasting to everlasting. He is from everlasting, okay? But many people don't understand that. And so they think that begotten means he had a beginning. Every phrase in the Bible, if not every, almost every phrase where the Bible calls him begotten, it's talking about the Father's statement to the Son at his resurrection. He is begotten into the priesthood, okay? So notice what it says. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. What is it talking about? His entrance into the priesthood at his resurrection. Let's see what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 33. It says, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Did what? Raised him up again. So this is talking about the resurrection. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. It was at the resurrection, the Bible says, that this statement. Well, why does the Bible call him the only begotten son, full of grace and truth, at his birth? The same reason that God calls him slain from the foundation of the world. God is not bound by time. If this is what he's going to be, God calls him that. Okay? He's slain from the foundation of the world. But he wasn't killed back before the world was done. He was killed in A.D. 31. But he was slain, according to the scriptures, from the foundation of the world. That's in Revelation chapter 13, I believe, in verse 8. Okay? So I just want to share these principles, and people who don't study the word, and we get them to these fanatical views, brothers and sisters. God is balanced. God is not fanatical. Okay? You can stay with the word, and we don't have to get involved. And when they get involved in that one, then they get involved in the sacred name. They won't call him Jesus. They say that's a Greek Zeus. They say it's Jesus Zeus, because it is in Greek. Jesus is the pronunciation. So they say that was Zeus. Jesus is pagan, they say, son of Zeus. But you know what you have to do? You got to take him back to the Septuagint. The Septuagint is a book that was written by the people of God. It was the Old Testament in Greek. The people of God that were trying to keep the flame of truth alive. The world had been overcome by Babylon, been overcome by Medo-Persia, and between Matthew and Malachi, the Greek Empire was ruling. And so all of God's people, because God always has a remnant, they wrote the Bible in manuscripts called the Septuagint, and it was the Old Testament in Greek. Joshua, who fought the Battle of Jericho, was named Jesus. And everybody knows Joshua, who fought the Battle of Jericho, was not God, never claimed to be God. Nobody ever accused him of being God. And the people of God, who were keeping the flame of truth alive, called Joshua Jesus. They lied to you when they told you that has reference to the God, the Greek God Zeus. That's a lie. It's Joshua, the son of Nun. He has the same name. And so even though Jesus might have a similar phonetic sound as Zeus, that was Joshua. That's what it means. You see, they transliterated the name. You see, Yeshua, Jesus. You see, so it was the Greek transliteration. Well, people say you're not supposed to transliterate a name. Says who? Show me in the Bible where you're not supposed to transliterate a name. We do it now. Juan is John, and Pablo is Paul, and Pedro is Peter. We transliterate all the time. So who says you're not supposed to transliterate a name? Show me in the Bible where it's a sin to transliterate a name. Just show me in the Bible. We make up all kind of stuff, brothers and sisters, and it's just made up stuff. It's nowhere in the Bible. We just make up stuff. I'm going to tell you another one that's made up. And I want you all to listen carefully, and because this is important. Many a person has been condemned to a life of loneliness because of something that has been made up. I'll tell you what's made up. In the Bible, in Matthew 5, I want you to read it for yourself. I'm going to read it to you, brothers and sisters. We're going to read this. Matthew 5, okay? I'm going to talk about stuff that we make up and how we put people into circumstances of, and we give God a bad name, actually. Okay, help me, Father. Let me find it. I'm sorry, saints, I don't remember exactly the verse, but I know it's in Matthew 5. This was not part of my notes, but the Holy Spirit said, just talk to him about how we mess up God's word. Okay, come on. Man. I'm not finding the verse, brothers and sisters, but in Matthew 5, Jesus talks about marriage because they wanted to know if it was okay for them to put away their wives like it was said they could in Moses' day, okay? And in that, Jesus said to them, no, it's not. because if you divorce her and there's been no adultery, he said, except for fornication, okay? He said, you'll cause her to commit adultery if she marries again. So what is he saying? If there's no adultery and you get, and there's a divorce and there's no adultery, if she marries again, she's committing adultery. You move over to Matthew 19, and he says the same thing, but he lets it be known that if the man puts away his wife, which is the same as in Matthew 5, and he, the man, gets married again, he commits adultery if there's been no fornication in the first relationship. So what we make up is, what if there was fornication? What if the wife actually did commit adultery and the husband said, I don't want you anymore, and he divorces? Of course, we would all agree that God gives him permission to do so. But where we make stuff up is we say that that woman can never marry again. And I just want you to find the scripture and show me where it says that. I'm just asking you, and somebody gave it to me, Matthew 5:30. Thank you very much. So I'll read it. Thank you, dear sister. Matthew 5:30. Here it is. I just rolled right past it. If thy right hand cut thee off. No? Let me see what text she said. Matthew 5:30. Maybe I'm not in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. It's not verse 30. Okay, it's verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now, it's very clear that the her that is divorced is that same woman in the first part of the verse who was divorced and there was no adultery. She did not commit adultery, but her husband divorced her anyway. And so it says if she marries again, that causes an adulterous relationship to be formed. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Okay? So, and then if we can find the one in Matthew 9:19, let's see if we can find that. I'm just going to show you what we make up in the Bible because it's not even in the Bible. Okay? Let's see it. Please forgive me again, saints. I don't remember the verse. And, okay. All right, verse 7. They say unto him, why? Okay, let's start with verse 6. Wherefore, they no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Maybe we should go before then to get the context. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be. Maybe we should go a little before that. All right, let's go before that verse. And the Pharisees came, verse 3, unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That means for whatever reason, I don't like her. She got wrinkles. She's old. She had a tooth that fell out or whatever. Okay? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that which he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Because Moses allowed it. Jesus said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Who is the her, and who is the man? These are two individuals who got out of a relationship of marriage, but there was no adultery. Okay? That's clear, brothers and sisters, that's clear. So, what if there was adultery? Well, this is where we make up stuff. Well, in our Pharisaism, we say oh, he can't ever get married again because he messed up one time, and it might have been 15,000 years ago, but he messed up. So you know, he has to be, and his wife has even gotten married again and whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. He's just, you know. So let me tell you what we've done to God's character. There's many, and some of you women will say amen to this. There's many, and I'm gonna tell you something about men too, but some of you women will say amen to this. There's many an abused woman, beaten, yelled at, demeaned, disrespected, that maybe in a moment of weakness gets away from the abuser, cries on somebody's shoulder who they shouldn't cry on, and receives some tenderness, and for a moment has a moment of weakness, of sin, but it's still a moment of weakness, has a one-night stand, realizes, I don't want to live, I can't do this, I can't do this again. Husband finds out, divorces her, after he beats her up some more, divorces her, and the doctrine that you all have made up, that's not in the Bible, and I'm saying you all, but I'm putting myself in there too. I used to believe that too, but it's Pharisaism. You see, we see people in church and in the conferences, the deacon marries the pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife marries the deacon's husband, and all of a sudden, and they still in the same church. We see all that kind of foolishness go on, and we want to fight against it to hold up the truth. And sometimes we go too far, and we say what the Bible has not said. Just because there's a bunch of stuff going on in the church, brother, or the organization, that doesn't mean you have the right to make up scripture, friend. And so what we say is, even if, I just read to you all the verses, brothers and sisters, show me what phrase in those verses said that, okay, let me go back to the scenario of the abused woman. Based on your doctrine, because it's not mine anymore, I gave it up for the truth. Based on your doctrine, that man is free to go get another victim and beat up on another woman. And that woman is required for the rest of her life to live a life of loneliness, celibacy, sometimes danger because she doesn't have anybody around to protect her for the rest of her life. Show me Jesus in that. Now, if the Bible said it, I'm like this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. But I want you to show me in the Bible. You see, God had to deal with me, brothers and sisters, because I used to teach that mess. I used to teach that. And I realized that is so foreign to the character of God. Let me tell you why it's foreign. Some of you who are church treasurers, you stole a cookie from the cookie jar when you were a child. But now you gave that up, that stealing up. You don't steal cookies from the cookie jar, and you wouldn't even steal a penny from the church coffers because you love the Lord. But God allowed a thief to become a church treasurer. I know more than one preacher that was a gangbanger. They took a gun and they shot people, and they became preachers of righteousness. One of my ministers, my own pastors, was in the mafia. I don't even know if he's alive anymore. I'm going to call his name. Dajene was his name, is his name. I need to find out if the brother's still alive. But he was a Caucasian, Italian pastor who had gone to a he was in the mafia, and he had gone to a Revelation seminar, and he found Jesus, and he went to the Godfather, Joseph Colombo, I think it was. He asked if he could get out, and he said, I don't know. They called it Mario, I think it was, his name. And what had happened was his daddy was the personal physician of the Godfather. So when his daddy died, they adopted him into the mafia, and they raised him as their own son. Okay, that's what happened. So he was not even biologically a son, but he was adopted officially into that mafia family. So he grew up a gangbanger in the mafia. Yes, he killed people. Yes, he did all kind of crazy stuff. He taught me some things, too. He taught me, he said, man, look, when you go to a restaurant, don't put your back to the door. He said, Face the door. Elizabeth, the door is over there. Face the door. So if something's going down, you can see. That's just practical, brothers and sisters. I remember a lot of the practical things that he told me, and I am tend to be security-oriented because of the practical things he told me. Ladies, be careful. You know, when you're walking down the you're in a hotel room and you're ready to go to your hotel room and somebody's behind you, you might ask the Lord first. Ask the Lord first, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. But God might say, you know what? You don't know who that person is. Don't just go right to your hotel room. Just go the other way. Just turn around and go the other way, because somebody might be trying to force you into your hotel room in private where nobody can hear you scream, okay? So, you know, things like you just watch your surroundings. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not the spirit of fear, brothers and sisters. That's just being wise and careful, just watching your surroundings, okay? So my point being made is that this man became a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let me tell you how it happened, brothers and sisters. And I know we're going over time, but Sister Lenny, get ready. We're probably not going to have the song, okay? We're just going to hear from Sister Lenny. And so it was a powerful testimony that the man had. You can't get out of the mafia without being killed. You know too much. And we'd be at church, and he would just tell us in church from the pulpit, he would say, because we knew his background. He said he was the pastor in St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis Central, so many years ago. I think I'm free to say it. He said it from the pulpit. These were public statements. He said, listen, one of my brothers is on the run, and I just want y'all to know the FBI is most likely bugging my phone. So if you want to call me as your pastor, you're welcome to do so. But just understand there's going to be some law enforcement that will be listening in on your plight that you need to tell the pastor. I just need to tell you that. He would tell us that from the pulpit, because he was in the mafia. And I'm going to tell you something else that I can say, because I don't think he's pastoring anymore, but he would be packing, okay? He would be packing, which means he carried a gun. Am I saying that was wrong? No, I'm not saying that was wrong. I'm just saying he showed me his gun one day, and he packed, okay? So the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that this man was in the mafia, and he became a preacher. This man killed people, and he became a preacher. Somebody stole a cookie out of the cookie jar, and they became a treasurer. If somebody makes a mistake with a sexual sin, we condemn them till Jesus comes. It's not even godly. It doesn't even line up with anything that God does. He allows all kinds of people who were sinners in the past to be in various, various aspects of leadership. All I'm trying to tell you, if you disagree with me, show me the phrase in those scriptures or show me some other scripture that says if you've made a mistake in your past that you and you were married and your spouse divorced you on those grounds that you can never marry again. And until you can show it from the Bible, you need to stop teaching that error, because it's made up. See, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about made up things, because they make up this Godhead error, and they go too far with this Godhead error. And so and before you know it, they won't say Jesus, because they think that that's God honoring Zeus. They believe that we have to keep all the feast days. And so I was asked to preach at this event, and I went out there, and it was Tuesday, and people were getting ready. I mean, I was dressed up because I was speaking. People were getting ready on a Tuesday. They were getting ready like they were dressing up. I knew it was a camp meeting, you know, and so people kind of dressed down a little bit for the camp meeting in their tents and stuff, but now they were getting all dressed. And I mentioned something, and somebody said, you know, I tell you what, let's talk about that next week. We're in the Sabbath week. I was like, what are they talking about? Come to find out, those were feast keepers, and they invited me to come and give a health message. And I had to tell them, because people said, oh, Shellam Flemings, we didn't know you were a feast keeper. I said, I'm not. So I had to publicly get up front and embarrass the leadership because they needed to know, the people needed to know that I was not there to promote. Now, if they had told me it was a feast, I would have still gone because everybody needs to hear the truth. But I would have gone and they could have introduced me and they could have said, hey, this brother is not part of the feast movement, but we like what the Lord has blessed him with, so on and so forth. But they didn't do that. So they made it look like I believe in the feast. So I had to publicly say, I don't believe in these feasts, but I'm happy to be here with you all today. And can we say amen? That's what we had to do because people were thinking that by my example, I believed in the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that they were still binding upon people as ceremonial Sabbaths. And the Bible said they were done away with at the cross. You see, that's why I was talking to you all, brothers and sisters. We have an example. If we're going to church on a day that used to be a day that was a worship of the Son, we are going to be held accountable for the influence that we have over others because somebody might not accept the Sabbath truth because of me, because of you. If I was to continue and do those feasts, somebody might think those feasts done away with at the cross are required by God. I can't do that. I've got to be concerned about my example, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us to be example, that Jesus is our example, but even tells young people, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example, okay? So we're going to finish up Hebrews, but I want you all to understand that it's important that we stay with the word and that all of us re-examine everything that we believe and make sure it stands up to Scripture. If it does not stand up to Scripture, now you'll have some fanatical people that will say, they'll give reasons why they think I'm saying what I'm saying, but the bottom line is that's fine. Is it in the Bible? Put away all the emotions. Put away all what you think you know, because you don't know what you think you know anyway. But whatever you think you know, whatever you think is the reason I'm saying what I'm saying, none of that matters. What matters is what has God said? Show me from the Bible why you hold the position that you hold, okay? And I can tell you, that one's not in the Bible. And if it is, every preacher that used to be a gangbanger should be out of the pulpit. Every church treasurer that stole a cookie from the cookie jar should be out of it. Every Sabbath school teacher that ever told a lie should never be a Sabbath school teacher. The bottom line is the church would be empty if we followed that view, but we only apply it to that particular sin. That's the Pharisaism in us. I'm going back to Hebrews. We're going to wrap this up, brothers. Hebrews. Beautiful, 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 beautiful truth, brothers, in Hebrews. All right, so Christ glorified himself not to be made an high priest, but that he said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, verse 6, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Have mercy. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Brothers and sisters, salvation comes to the obedient. It doesn't come, but you're obedient by faith. That's what's called righteousness by faith. The Bible tells us he is the author of salvation unto those who obey. So once saved, always saved is not in the Bible. We must be obedient. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And I'm going to deviate real quickly and tell you who Melchizedek was. Melchizedek was the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Because he had no father, he had no mother, he had no beginning of days nor end of days. It has to be a divine being. And it was not Christ, so it was the Holy Spirit. If Jesus can come in the flesh, so could the Holy Spirit at that time. Of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You see, brothers and sisters, we should be farther ahead in our Christian walk. This is what this verse is saying. But what happens is we have not always studied as we ought, and so we're not ready for the meat. We're still in the milk stage. But God is telling us that's not a good thing. He said you ought to be a teacher, but you still need to learn what the milk is. You see, a lot of times we have struggles and we have challenges in our hearts because we haven't fully surrendered to God. When you get the milk, you have a full surrender to God. You will sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And then it says, though no one join me, can't be about prayer pressure, still I will follow. Let's read on. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's Hebrews chapter 5, the high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, brothers and sisters, who was the one who created us. If you're a man, you're not an AMAB, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're not an AFAB, you're a woman. You're not assigned by a human female at birth or assigned by a man. If you're assigned by God, he saw in the deep secrets of your mother's womb, he was working. And he made you. He had 500 million opportunities to make somebody else, but he brought you into this world. So my brother and my sister, God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the truth. We thank you how it weaves into every aspect of our lives. Help us to take a stand on the word of God and teach only that which is in the Bible. And we pray that if we have taught other things, that we'll humble ourselves and repent. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to hear from Sister Lenny on the subject, commanded to heal. Commanded to heal. I love it. Let's go right now to Sister Lenny at this time. And the next voice you will be hear will be hers. The next voice you will hear will be hers. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Commanded
to heal. God has commanded every Christian to heal. Most Christians have lost sight of this fact. When the disciples went out and healed in the name of Christ, they did not parley to first obtain a medical degree. They obeyed the command of Christ, and God worked through their efforts. Even though their primary methods involved prayer and the laying on of hands, natural remedies were used by Christ, their teacher. These faith-based remedies were also used under direction of God by his people during the Old Testament times. Christians believe that we are commanded by God to preach the gospel to our fellow man. We feed the hungry at the command of God. We clothe the naked because God told us to. We visit prisoners in obedience to Scripture. We cast out devils in the name of Christ. However, when it comes to healing, we somehow have developed the idea that this command is only to be obeyed by those with degrees in the medical field. Therefore, we convert medical professionals to Christianity or encourage our God-fearing and sometimes less than God-fearing children to enslave themselves with $250,000 worth of debt to finish medical school, and then we satisfy ourselves with the thought that we are healing vicariously through them. If they enrolled in medical school with a missionary spirit, few retain that spirit when they graduate. If they do, they quickly discover that missionaries have a hard time paying back $250,000 in student loans, one of the only debts in America that cannot be discharged with bankruptcy. Even the IRS will often agree to a favorable settlement of a tax debt which you may legitimately owe, but you will pay back every cent of a student loan for medical school. The same is true of nursing, but the debt load, though heavy, is not steep. The commandment to heal is not optional to a born-again Christian. If the government declared that we cannot preach the gospel, there would be a tremendous outcry among all Christian churches in America. Few, however, realize that the commandment to preach the gospel goes hand in hand with the commandment to heal the sick. And there are Bible texts all through the Bible talking about healing. So I just pray that we would take in the information that's given and do what God would have us to do. This morning's reading is coming from Overcome Disease, The Refreshing Way, pages 16 to 17. Thank you so much. May you reach out to someone today and bless them. God bless you.
Amen. We've got, with that, 10 minutes left. If anyone has any comment, question, please feel free to press star 6. I want to invite everyone who has not yet registered for our course to go and register. We have a course that is going to teach you what you will not learn in 12 years of medical school. If you want to get a concept of the course, the lesson that we gave, the introductory lesson, is free. I have put in our chat, torso.org. You can go there and you can read about it. And there is a video of the class that you missed. It's going to give you foundational material about this command to heal that Sister Lenny told us about, and how that we are called as Christians to heal. And God has given us a system of healing. It's not an allopath, which is your medical doctor. It's not an osteopath, which is your osteopathic physician. It's not a naturopath. God says, as for the old path. We call it holistic wellness, but it's holistic with a W. For Jesus said in John 6:5, wilt thou be made whole? And so, friends, there's still room. We can still add some students to it. It is, this type of education is worth thousands of dollars. We are allowing you to come and learn this for $650, and you can have a payment plan. I mean, brothers and sisters, we're trying to create an army. Although we have expenses, we can't do it free, but the bottom line is you have an opportunity to learn about how to cure cancer and diabetes and hypertension and fibroids and all these things, brothers and sisters. You have that opportunity at your fingertips. And let me tell you something. And it's not because we've developed it. The Holy Spirit has been involved with the development of this textbook. This textbook, brothers and sisters, with flowcharts, is easily worth hundreds of dollars. And the bottom line is, when you really look at it, everybody who finishes the who signs up for this course and finishes the course, they basically get a book free, because the course is worth thousands of dollars, and it's offered for $650 with a payment program, and you get a book that's worth hundreds of dollars. Okay? So, friends, there's no excuse. If God opens the door for you to be able to do this, we have some, just read it up, read up on it. It'll take you to a different website of an affiliate ministry that's kind of helping to coordinate this, and there's a sign-up sheet where you can sign up. But the lesson that you missed is on that website. The lesson that you missed. So listen to that lesson, and it's going to be about foundational material, okay, that you need to know. And that's the introductory lesson. The next lesson will be August the 20th. I keep getting the 27th and 28th mixed up. So it's going to be August the 27th on a Sunday, August 27th. And it'll be every Sunday thereafter for just 2 hours from 10 to 12 Eastern, 2 hours from 10 to 12 Eastern. We're going to cover each system. And because of the system of healing and this torso flow learning system, we've developed a learning system by virtue of the Holy Spirit's help, you're going to learn in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost. So I believe God led Sister Lenny to share that with us, because it kind of spearheads. Really, we wanted people to be registered by the 15th. You know, the bottom line, if you register after that, your textbook might come a little late. But, you know, if you register prior to the 27th, we'll still let you in. So definitely don't take advantage of this, brothers and sisters. We've got two callers. We're going to take those callers. Praise God for one of them. We know was Sister Leilani, and she's been traveling. We've been praying for her. Let's see who's first. Okay, we've got Sister Leilani. Good morning.
Good morning from Kearney, Nebraska.
All right.
On my prayers for traveling mercies have been answered in so many ways. But my question is about the Trinity. You know, it says in Matthew 28:19, that baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times will end my prayer with, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus. But is that wrong?
Are you asking, is it wrong that, are you asking, does the Father, is the Father a being, is the Son a being, is the Holy Spirit a being? Are you asking that? Because they
no.
are. They are three beings.
But, you know, when you say the Catholic Church has changed the Trinity and they pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, okay. So what I understand, sister, is this. I want to make sure everybody understands that I believe in a separate being of a Father, a separate being called the Son, a separate being called the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that the Spirit is just a spirit of the Father any more than I believe the Son is just the Son of the Father, but he's really the Father. See, you know, they are three beings. It's just that the word Trinity meant something different, okay? Now, that being said, the Bible tells us to pray in the name of Jesus. That the Bible tells us to do that. And I think that's the safest way to pray. See, if you understand the sanctuary, which we're learning, the Holy Spirit is down here working for us. But it is this, it is Jesus who presents our prayers to the Father in the most holy place. So we would pray in his name because it's his merit specifically that is presented with our prayer. So when you understand that, you don't really pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus because he's presenting our prayers to the Father.
So it would make any difference if you pray in the name of Yeshua the Messiah or Jesus the Christ?
If people want to use the Hebrew name, they're welcome to. It's just that I'm here to tell you that it's okay to say Jesus. That's my own thing. There is a group of people that say you shouldn't say Jesus because they say that came from the Greek Jesus, and that was referencing
yeah.
Zeus. So I've just proven that it was not referencing Zeus. Jesus was the name of Joshua who fought the Battle of Jericho, and he was not a god. And the Greeks never called him a god. So that's an error. That's a lie that they're telling you, that Jesus has reference to Zeus. That is simply a transliteration of Yeshua. You can hear the sound. Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus. It was a transliteration, just like we call Juan John and Pablo Paul. We have similar
yes.
names in Spanish. That's all that was.
Okay, thank you. I understand that now.
Amen,
oh,
amen.
I've been having trouble making my payments.
I'll give you a call. Go
okay.
ahead. I'm sorry. What did it say? What did it say? I'm sorry.
It said it cannot be completed.
Okay.
So.
I do know I was talking with the other ministry, and at one point they were having some challenges. They told me they got those challenges resolved. So that might have been around that time. So if you want me to give you a call or if you want to try it again, maybe
I'll try
it was during the time where they were having some challenges. But please reach out to me and let me know if there's a problem, okay?
Because they said you said the deadline was what, tomorrow?
Yeah, we wanted everybody registered by the 15th, and really the whole one of the purposes of that is we've got to get you all an almost 500-page textbook with flowcharts in it, and we don't want people to get those late. But the bottom line is if people wait too late and they get in, we're not going to refuse them. But they won't get the textbook when the class starts, but they'll still get it. So just
okay.
try it. If you're still on the road and you can't do it, I understand. But just do it as soon as you can. But definitely let me know if you have a problem, okay?
Well, I will be getting home today, so.
Okay. All right. Well, we are going to pray that our dear sister gets home today safely. And, again, reach out if you need to, okay?
And gets registered.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And get
okay.
registered. Pray for her to get home and get registered. Amen. Thank you, sis.
Amen.
We're going to go to Brother Raymond at this time. Thank you. God bless. Okay, Brother Ray, talk to us.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
As always, you and Sister Lenny were awesome, and the adjectives are voluminous to describe what you do. Clearly, biblically, the Bible does suggest numerous precepts and tenets that would encourage us to seek natural healing, natural medicine. I agree with that 100%. In fact, you and I have talked, I need to do a testimony about it. But I just wanted to ask, would you not concur that in some instances, stroke, heart attack, gunshot wound, stabbing, that we should seek Western medicine immediately? I will listen for your answer.
Thank you for that wonderful question. I want everybody, even if you don't sign up for the class, I want you to go to torso.org or creatorsrx.com. That's our affiliate ministry website that's helping to coordinate the school. And there's a link to the video of the class that you missed. Biblical wellness is all that which is good. All that which is good. A surgery at the right time is good. Even what is necessary, if some drugs were needed to stabilize you, if you're about to die and they can give you something to keep your heart going or whatever, all that is good is part of biblical wellness, okay? Even though we might not be able to do it because we're not licensed to do it. So biblical wellness just doesn't involve the evil. So there's some good in Western medicine. It's just some evil in there too. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the tree the devil wants us to eat from. The tree of life had only good. So there is good things in naturopathy, but then there's some evil in naturopathy. We reject the evil and we accept the good. That's part of biblical wellness. There is good in osteopathy, but there's some evil in osteopathy. They give drugs too, just like medical doctors, for stuff that we could heal with natural lifestyle. Okay? So great question, Brother Ray. And the answer is, that which is good, you mentioned when you need some help due to trauma, gunshot, all this kind of stuff, but you said, should we go to Western medicine? Yes, you're going to Western medicine, but you're going to the biblical wellness, the good, okay? You're still within the realm of biblical wellness. You're still within the realm of holistic, with a W, wellness, because we accept all that which is good, even though we as individuals who don't have medical degrees are not licensed to give you that surgery, to pull that bullet out of your chest or what, safely out of your chest or whatever the case might be. So that's the answer. God is balanced. But the problem with Western medicine is the chronic, the use of drug medication as the main method of treating chronic diseases is disastrous. When we have helped people who need to give testimonies, can we say amen? To reverse diabetes. We have helped people who need to give testimony that God has used us to reverse hypertension. And I'm going to tell you, this Wednesday, a brother is coming over. He walked with a cane, and he's going to tell you how he no longer walks with that cane. They're going to come over and help us bind some of these textbooks. But I look forward to that, and we'll be sharing that testimony with you. God is good, friends. It's a little bit past the time. I'll pass it over to my lovely, wonderful, beautiful, godly wife to close us out at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We pray now, Lord, that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day. We ask that as we go about doing service unto you, that we'll remember to also be kind and be able to serve man as well. And we pray, Lord, that as we seek out your word, your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know, giving us even a deeper understanding, allowing us to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray for everyone on this line that you would bless every heart in a special way and that you would continue to grant spiritual, mental, and physical healings. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
You know.